During the Switch Pivot or Quit chat, we talk to women that have successfully navigated through some of the plot twist years of life and are eager to share their stories and what they've learned in the hopes of inspiring, teaching, or making even the slightest impact by candidly owning their truth. Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch Pivot or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, a former sports entertainment publicist in New York City, turned traditionally published author with Simon & Schuster, who quit my old life to write a book, live in London for a bit, and explore my dreams to find my happiness and fulfillment. I'm here to help encourage and guide you through your plot twist years as your chief encourager and host of the Switch Pivot or Quit podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes if you have enjoyed listening to this podcast so far, and check out switchpivotorquit.com for even more personal and professional development resources. But for now, just sit back, open your mind, and enjoy the show. On today's show, we have the pleasure of chatting with Timi Adamulekum. She is the founder of Pembroke PR, which was founded in 2013 after 3 years spent as a director of communications for the Natamis Restaurant Group. Pembroke PR specializes in the luxury lifestyle sector, working with a range of clients in interior design, jewelry, caviar, champagne, and of course, even more luxury. She also served as co-director of media for TEDx Presidio and currently serves as advisor for SF Made, SF host/mentor for the Global Graduates Program, and co-founder of Radiant Workspaces. Radiant Workspaces is the first co-working space for women in San Francisco. Their aim is to manifest a space for women to connect, collaborate, and create. So let's get into this oh-so-awesome conversation with Timi. Okay, we are joined by Timi Adamulekum. Please welcome her to the show. Thank you so much for joining us today, Timi.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So let's just go ahead and get started by having you tell us a bit about your own SPQ experience and just what that looked like for you.
Okay. So I've been in the PR industry a while, and I was in-house with a restaurant group in San Francisco. You can tell from my accent, I didn't grow up here. I grew up in England. San Francisco. I got a job at a restaurant group looking after their communications, and it was really good fun. When I joined the restaurant group, it was just the one restaurant. And within a year of joining, they opened another restaurant, a deli and a bar. So it was a really busy time, really great for me to just get situated in a new city mm-hmm. in the context of PR. So I definitely really enjoyed my job. And I started getting other people asking me if I could look after their PR as well, because they felt I was doing such a good job for the restaurant group. So that planted the seed in my head to leave my job and set up my own PR company, which I did. And I just thought, you know, it just seems like a really good time, so let me just give it a go. I always knew that I wanted to work for myself ultimately, and it just seemed like a really good opportunity to keep doing the same thing, because I didn't have to learn any new skills. I was still going to be in PR. I was just going to be working for myself. So it was quite a straightforward transition to make. I didn't have to relearn any new skills. I didn't have to get loads of equipment or anything. I literally just bought myself a new laptop because I thought it would be something special and nice to get. And that was it. And I've had my own PR company now for 4 years, and it's been great. I've been getting a constant stream of word of mouth referrals, so that's been going really well. About a year after I set up my PR company, I was starting to feel a little stir crazy from always working from home. And the cafe thing was just really unpredictable. You never knew how noisy it was going to be. You never knew if you were going to be able to sit down and get a good table. And it was really tricky for meetings. I always felt like you couldn't leave your laptop out and go to the restroom because you're not sure what you'd find if you came back.
Right.
Any of your stuff would be where you'd left it.
Right.
And then also for client meetings, I just felt it was getting a little unprofessional. And then very luckily for me, a good friend of mine who has her own business had moved into an office that was too big for her. So she asked me if I wanted to share it with her. So I was like, great, it's really close to where I live. It seemed like a great opportunity. And for me, one of the things that's really important about productivity at work is that ability to get up get dressed, get out the house, and go sit somewhere that is your workspace. And that's been so important for me as a solo entrepreneur, because there's just something about the mentality of being in a dedicated workspace that for me makes me 10 times more productive.
Right.
So about 2 years after we moved into the shared office space, by that point, we were actually sharing with a third company as well, because it's a good size office. We didn't need all the space for ourselves. Mm-hmm. She moved out to a different part of the other side of San Francisco, pretty much. And the one-man tech company that we had sharing the office with us, he moved out to the East Coast. So then it was just me left with the office, the big office. I don't need that much space. Mm-hmm. So I was brainstorming with my husband, who's an architect, and he does a lot of commercial design. So I was brainstorming with my husband one evening about what to do with the space. And he suggested making it a co-working space. And at that point, I'd been organizing networking events for moms who are entrepreneurs, who are so very niche. Mm-hmm. But I really built a strong community within the female mother entrepreneur community. So I thought it'd be fun and interesting and really supportive to create a co-working space for women in San Francisco. And at the point in time at which we started, there wasn't anyone else to our knowledge doing what we were planning on doing. And our goal was to manifest a space for women to come together to create, collaborate, and connect. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so that's how I find myself now running two businesses.
Awesome, awesome. And just tell them where they can find the co-working space, name of the co-working space, website, where they can sort of find if they are interested in visiting while in SF maybe.
Yeah, so our co-working space is called Radiant. So you can find us at radiantspaces.work. And we have ongoing membership for people that live in the Bay Area. So you can have a dedicated desk, or you can have a drop-in membership when you just come in when you feel you need to come in. You don't have to be here every day. Mm-hmm. And the desk is available on a first-come, first-served basis. We also do day passes for people who are traveling and just need somewhere for a few hours to be able to do some work. Awesome. Or people who don't want to commit to a full-time membership, they're also more than welcome to come in for on a day pass.
Awesome, awesome. And did you find that you had to make any sacrifices when you decided to make your SPQ, your switch, pivot, or quit?
The main sacrifice that I felt that had to be made was time. Because I felt at the point in time when I had just my PR company, I felt I'd reached a point where things felt quite balanced between running my company, managing the staff that I've got, a very small team, it was one assistant. So managing my assistants, managing the workload of the clients. And then also I'm married, you know, I've got a 4-year-old son. Mm-hmm. So there's the family life element. And then also just having enough time for myself to do the things that I want to be able to do with my free time, which was really quite limited. So taking on a new business was definitely a steep curve in terms of sacrificing time. But I just think in life, you only get so many opportunities that you actually really want to pursue and could fundamentally change the trajectory of your life. So for me, I am one of those people that if a good opportunity comes up, if it seems like a viable business plan, I'm probably going to take the shot.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that. Yes, you have to take your shot when you see it. Out of your strengths, which ones do you think have significantly helped you to sort of get where you are today?
I would probably say my tenacity. It's been a running joke. My family, my whole life, pretty much, nickname being Tenacious T.
I love it.
Yeah, that I have the capacity to, I mean, I might complain endlessly, so don't get me wrong. I definitely don't necessarily think it's easy. I do have a capacity to stick with things as much as seems reasonable. I think it's also tricky because I think some ideas are really good ideas and you should stick with them. Mm-hmm. But I think you also have to be able to recognize when you need to let something go. And I think for a lot of entrepreneurs, that's a very difficult point because you put so much time and energy into something, you don't want to quit.
Right.
But then sometimes the smartest choice for you to make is to quit or to switch or to pivot.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true. What, in your opinion, what role does having like a vision for your life or maybe creating a vision like plan when thinking about making significant changes, what role does that play, like a vision element of things?
I think a vision is really important, and I think the more detailed your vision is of where you want to get to and what you want to do, the more it can motivate you. And for me, I'm quite a visual person. Like, I need to see things to understand them. And so for me, being able to envision the future I want for myself, the life I want to build, the trajectory I want to be on, has always been really important. And then it's a case of figuring out what's the most likely vehicle to get me there. So that's a really fundamental part of decision-making process, with what opportunities to pursue. Because if I know where I want to get to, is opportunity A going to get me there or not? Or is it opportunity B, or is it opportunity C? And I have to weigh them up to figure out which one is most in line with the vision I have for the way I want to live my life. And I think visions of how you see your future are a really powerful, motivating tool for people. Because I think for most people, it's really difficult to conceive things in a very abstract sense. Mm-hmm. So if you can see something in your mind, I mean, create a vision board. Vision boards are great for this. But if you can see something in your mind, and then if you can create a vision board as well to give you some more kind of detail that you can look at on a regular basis to help you just keep thinking about the things you want to do and figure out the steps you need to take, it makes it easier to make your choices when you need to make them, because you're clear on the lens through which you're looking at everything.
Mm, that's so key. I love that. I love that. Because sometimes we get in these situations where we are presented with all of these things that we think are opportunities. But if you know what your end goal is, then you might realize, actually, this sounds like a good opportunity, but this is not in line with, or not going to get me where I really want to go. So I love that.
Absolutely. Yeah. There was something I read a while ago. I can't remember where I read it, but it said choice is the enemy of focus. And I truly believe that, because I think it's really easy to just feel like, oh, I have so many choices. But if you're focused on what you actually want, then you automatically realize you don't necessarily have as many choices as you think you might do, which I take to be a good thing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Was there ever a time when you thought to yourself, like, oh, I need to step it up? You know, like you said, you're a wife, you're a mother, you're an entrepreneur, you have all these responsibilities. Have you ever encountered a time where you were thinking to yourself, like, okay, I need to do more, I need to step it up? And if so, what did you then do to sort of like get yourself through that period?
To be very honest, I feel that to varying degrees every day.
Yeah. Don't we all? I know, right? Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. For me, the phrase, I think it was Madeleine Albright that said it first. I'm not sure. So definitely please check that. But you can't do everything at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important, because it just reinforces a notion of focus. You know, I can't be an amazing businesswoman while my child's in the office, while there's food to be made. I just can't do everything at the same time. So it makes no sense. So for me, that's part of the reason why having a workspace has been so useful, because it's helped me create more separation between the different elements of my life. So I have a space that I go to work. I'm here on my own. My son has been here. He loves it, but he knows it's not a place to hang out and play. He knows that when he's at school, mommy's at work, and he knows what my office looks like, which is really nice. I think it's important for kids to be able to understand what your working life looks like as well. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important for me as a person, I feel, because I do have quite a few different balls up in the air, to just have that separation. So my work life is very much at work. My home life is very much at home. Mm-hmm. And just maintaining that separation as much as possible. I do try as hard as possible to avoid working at night when I'm at home. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. You know, in terms of managing the home, for the most part, I meal prep a lot. For the most part, I create a menu for the week. Some days are better than other days. Mm-hmm. Some weeks better than other weeks, definitely. Yeah. But I just do what I can. And I definitely believe that for the most part, done is better than perfect. So I'm not necessarily going to get it completely right every single time, but sometimes it's more important to just get it done.
Right, right. And it's funny, I'm glad that you mentioned like meal prepping and things like that, because I was going to ask you, was there anything that you've sort of adopted or learned throughout the course of your life that's helped you sort of adult better? And I think some of those things that you mentioned probably speak exactly to that. Is there anything else that you might want to add though?
I, as a person, derive a lot of pleasure from the planning process of things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another personality trait that I've always had. I'm a really organized person. I really enjoy being organized. Mm-hmm. So I always look for ways I can try and be more organized about things as much as possible. My methods work for me. They wouldn't necessarily work for everyone else. But preparing as much as I can the night before for the next day is really helpful. right before I go to bed, I will unload the dishwasher. So at least we start the morning with a clean dishwasher. We can just put our dirty dishes in after breakfast. I found that creating a menu is really helpful because that way I don't need to stop and think about what I'm cooking at different points in time. And then it also makes it easier with grocery shopping, which I use a very well-known app for because it just saves me the time. I mean, I love grocery store shopping, but I haven't necessarily got the time to do it. So you have to pick and choose what's really important for me. It's more important that I'm cooking than for me to be shopping. So that's a choice I was happy to make.
What's the app that you use?
Instacart.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. I love it. Yeah. So ladies, pay attention to that. And you know, I had a young woman reach out to me about a week ago, and she wanted to hear more from the mother's perspective of trying to balance everything or manage things, especially with becoming an entrepreneur and having those responsibilities. And I think in her case, she's a single mother, but just from like off the top of your head, is there anything, any words of advice that you would give to someone who's trying to navigate this career space with also being a mother?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the only way it's been possible is by being super militant about my organization. I can't think of how I'd be able to juggle as many different balls if I wasn't really disciplined with organizing how I'm going to do certain things. Mm-hmm. So we all wake up at the same time in general. And then it's, you know, breakfast time. I know, there's this thing called decision-making fatigue. Mm. And basically the notion that if you have too many decisions to make in the early part of your day, it's like a iPhone battery. Mm-hmm. You can be using your phone for really productive, constructive things like work calls, work emails, or you could be on Facebook, Instagram. Your battery's still going to die. It doesn't matter what you've been doing. The fact is you've been spending a certain amount of time doing a certain number of things. And it's the same with the human brain when it comes to making decisions. So it's up to you to determine how many decisions you actually want to make in the early part of your day before you start the work part of your day. A lot of the decisions from home, we don't need to make on the spot every single day. Right. You don't need to wake up and open your food and think, what are we going to have for breakfast? It sounds so basic, but it's so nice to look at a printed menu on the phone and be like, okay, today we're having porridge.
Right.
There's no thought, there's no debate, there's no conversation about it. Yeah. And then you just get it done. And it's the same thing with my son's lunch. You know, it's all on the weekly menu, same thing with dinner. So that way I know what we're going to have for dinner before I leave the house in the morning. And I just make sure we have everything that we need. And for me, that just makes it so much easier managing the home side of things. And on the work side of things, I definitely live by my calendar. I schedule everything in my calendar. Mm. And for me, that's been my single most useful tool. I schedule, obviously, meetings and calls. But I think one of the things a lot of people forget to schedule is time to actually do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important. So on any given day at work, there'll be like four major things I need to get done. I'll put them in my calendar.
Right. Separately.
At specific times, at 1 o'clock, this is when I'm going to sit down and do this. At 10 a.m., this is when I'm going to sit down and do this.
Mm-hmm. That makes excellent sense. And it seems like you're a person that obviously seems to read a lot, consume a lot of different things, and being in the media and on the media side of things, you sort of have no choice. So what other types of things do you do maybe to actively expand your comfort zone? Because a lot of us and a lot of our listeners may be struggling with, you know, getting out of their own way or getting out of their comfort zone, because our comfort zone is a place that can keep us stuck sometimes. So is there anything that you found yourself doing to help you expand your comfort zone?
I mean, you're right. Reading a lot is definitely my number one, because I think there's so much that we don't know about so many things. And the only way to find out is by learning. The best way to learn is to read or speak to experts in fields that you don't know anything about.
Right.
So reading is definitely my number one thing. But then other than that, I think it's really important to actually just look after yourself. You know, make sure you get enough sleep at night. There aren't that many things you're doing at 11 o'clock that are really that important. Go to bed.
Right.
Yeah, you know, drink lots of water, eat proper food. I know I definitely don't feel good if I'm not eating good food. Mm-hmm. So for me, eating good food is a really high priority. And it's, in a sense, almost easier with a family because everyone needs to eat.
Yeah.
So that's very much something. My husband's very supportive and he is very helpful, but it's also something that I really take on, just making sure that we eat food that we cook at home. So we almost never order takeout. We definitely eat out at restaurants. For some reason, I prefer to eat in a restaurant instead of ordering takeout. It's just personal preference. Mm. And we never buy like convenience meals or anything. So we cook. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's really important. And I think there's a huge difference in how I feel, how my husband feels, how our son feels when we're eating good food on a regular basis. Mm. And then just do the things that feed your soul, whether that's meditating, whether that's exercising. I think moving your body in some way most days of the week is really important. And that's something I definitely need. And I found, especially when I'm going through times of stress, exercising is my number one release.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like that.
I mean, read and look after yourself. That's my advice.
Yeah. What would you say to someone who's dealing with trying to find their happy spot? Because a lot of times the things that they don't prepare you for in this life, they prepare you for all the education of things. Yeah. You know, you're that stuff is drilled into you. But just the finding your happiness and finding out how to be happy as a person, sometimes that falls through the cracks, you know, and we don't start getting to that point where we realize, hey, I need to sort of start to figure this out and figure out what makes me happy and how I can be happy. You don't start getting to that point until you're an adult a lot of times. So do you have any advice for someone who's trying to find their happy?
I read a book. I find like to my husband and to my friends so often, I start my response with, I read a book.
That's great though. That's awesome.
Yeah, it gets tricky when I can't remember where I read certain things. But I do remember this one because I just finished reading this book and it's relatively new. It's on the New York Times bestseller list and it's called Barking Up the Wrong Tree. Mm. And he basically looks at the common held notions of success and what it means and the traits that make people successful and examines it and turns a lot of it on its head. And I think one of the things that he says that's really important is you really just need to know yourself. If you don't know yourself, if you don't know what you're good at, if you don't know what you enjoy, you're very unlikely to be able to figure out what makes you happy. And part of the problem, especially with social media, it's wonderful, but at the same time, it creates a lot of noise. So it makes it harder for people to figure out what they actually want as opposed to what they think they should want. Mm. And one of the things he goes on to describe is there are basically four pillars that everybody needs in their life to feel a happy, fulfilled, balanced life. So number one is happiness. Feelings of pleasure, contentment in and about your life. Number two is achievement, achieving accomplishments that compare favorably against similar goals others have strived for. Number three is significance, having a positive impact on people you care about. Number four is legacy, establishing your values and accomplishments that help other people find future success. A really simple way to remember this is number one, happiness, enjoyment. Number two, achievement, winning. Significance, counting, how much do you count to others? Number four, legacy, extending, how much you extending the olive branch to other people. And for me, when I read that, that was a real light bulb moment because I think it's something that we all are constantly thinking, constantly trying to figure out, like, what makes me happy? Am I doing what I want to be doing? Yeah. And for me, I've definitely been fortunate to be able to build a career in exactly the way I want to, doing exactly the things I want to do. And it's just enabled me a lot of freedom. And for me, a big part of happiness is attached to freedom, freedom to be able to live my life the way I want to live it on my terms. And I feel very fortunate that I've been able to do that. And I continue to do that. But I think if you just look at those four things that I mentioned, so the happiness, achievement, significance, and legacy, I think that pretty much covers everything. And you have to really just figure out what those things mean to you and really just try and dial down the noise of what you feel you should do.
Okay, Timmy, so what does success mean to you or look like for you?
When I was younger, I think I was definitely much more focused on the more visible elements of success, like, you know, you have a certain house or you have a certain car, because that's just what society also tells us,
right?
The typical markers of success. But as I've gotten older, I've just started to understand that success is more about alignment than anything else. You're doing the right thing at the right time that is right for you. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to remember that, because if you're trying to do something that isn't necessarily right for you, it's not necessarily going to work. It's not necessarily your story to tell. So people aren't necessarily going to respond to it. the same way. So if you actually just really take the time to get to know yourself properly and figure out what you're actually good at, everyone has a unique set of talents. We're all here to do certain things with our unique set of talents. What are your unique talents that make you so special? Mm. Everyone's special. Mm-hmm. So what makes you special? Mm. And how can you find an environment for you to work in that is the right environment for you? Maybe it's being an entrepreneur. Maybe it's being a VP.
Right.
And I think there's so much focus placed on the super successful entrepreneurs that that's the idea people tend to have in their heads. Those are the people that stories are written about because they're the most interesting people, but they're also outliers. So it's definitely not for everyone. So mm-hmm. I think it's really important to figure out that maybe middle management is where you want to go, which is totally fine. Or maybe you want to be a nurse, or just there's so many different things that I think are great career choices for the right people. But in general, I've seen it time and time again, when people are doing something that isn't necessarily the right choice for them, it's not going to bring them any joy. It might bring you a lot of money, but mm-hmm. you're so miserable.
Right.
That I'd rather take a bit of a pay cut and be doing something that I'm really enjoying and really happy with, and I feel uniquely suited to. So I think just taking the time, I mean, for most of us, it does take a bit of time. Mm-hmm. To figure it out. People who manage to figure it out early are really lucky, mm-hmm. but it does take time to figure out how to get everything in alignment between who you are, where you want to go, what you want to do.
Right. Right. I'm glad that you mentioned the fact that it does take time too, because I think a lot of people feel like a failure when they don't reach certain achievements by a certain age. But like you said, a lot of the things that we see in the media, it's designed just for that, for consumption, to impress you, you know, 30 under 30, made your first million by 24, you know. Those are not, like you said, they're outliers. Those are not the average everyday people. So then average everyday people look at that and they start to feel like, oh, I'm not successful because I haven't achieved any of those types of benchmarks, or I can't, you know, tout any of those types of accolades. So maybe I'm not successful. But most of us, this whole life thing is a journey of figuring out what is in alignment for you. What works for you? Because so many of us think about it. That's why this podcast exists, because people make switch, pivot, or quits all the time to get to where they really want to be.
I couldn't agree more. And I think it's also really important because I definitely was someone that when I was younger, I had a lot of those benchmarks in my mind. I want to do this by 25. I want to do this by 30. I want to do this by 35. Mm-hmm. But I was very academic when I was at school. And I remember in England, there's a set of exams called GCSEs that you do at 16. Mm-hmm. And I remember I did really well in my GCSEs and I got all A's. And one of my cousins said to me, I hope you haven't peaked early. And I was like, oh my God. And I think that's a really good way to look at all these arbitrary markers of success we all have in our minds. You don't want to go peaking early. Right. It was your best year. You have a long road ahead of you if that's what happens.
Right.
For me, I think I've definitely really taken that on. And whenever I start to feel like, oh, I thought I was going to do this by this stage, I'm like, okay, maybe I just haven't peaked yet, which is amazing because it just mm-hmm. keeps me going. Because it just keeps me thinking there's so much more I can do. There's so much more for me to do. There's so much more I can achieve. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. That's one thing I'd say to people. You know, it's all well and good to do, you know, be on the Forbes 30 by 30 and congrats to everyone who's on it. But at the same time, some people do peak early and then the rest of their life is really hard. So you just want to be able to just keep going and just keep reaching new highs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like they say, a lot of the beauty in life is the journey and experiencing the journey. It's not necessarily the destination. Then you reach that destination and you look up and you're like, okay, now what? Yeah. Is life over? Because yeah. Now I've, you know, reached this millionaire status or CEO status or whatever it was that I was looking to achieve. Okay, now what do I do? So yeah, I'm thank you so much for sharing your version of success, because I think that was very insightful and helpful for a lot of people. I'm sure it'll calm a lot of nerves.
Anything I can do to help. So thank you very much for making this so easy for me.
Absolutely. You've created this environment that's comfortable and approachable for women to grow professionally, to get their work done, to do their to chase their dreams and work on their business ventures, to collaborate, all of these things. So why do you think that women supporting women is important to you and plays a role in now your business life?
Women have to deal with different things. Mm-hmm. You know, in every facet of life. I think we've really seen that over the past few months with the strength of the Me Too campaign, with also the strength of Time's Up and the number of people that have been able to feel empowered enough to come forward with their stories of what are, quite frankly, quite often horrific situations that nobody would wish on anyone. So I think that's the negative side of what women have to deal with. On the positive side, there are lots of women have different personality traits in common and just different ways of ideating. And there's a quote by Lima Bowie. She's an author, West African author. I think she's from Liberia. Mm-hmm. And she said, when women gather, magic happens. And I really believe that. I think there's something really powerful that I've seen so many times when you have women coming together, especially at similar stages in life, or even sometimes at different stages in life. There's so much for us to learn from each other. And I think there's a lot to be said for when you're mentally mapping your path, there's a lot to be said for seeing people who you feel have done what you want to do before to keep you feeling inspired. I think it's quite hard to feel inspired when you can't see anyone around you that's ever done it before. And that's why statistically socioeconomic groups tend to achieve similar goals, because you see other people doing it. So you're like, oh yeah, I can do that because they did it. But if you've never seen anyone do what it is you say you want to do, I think it makes it a lot harder. So I think it's one thing for a young girl growing up to have a really successful entrepreneur dad, and that's great. But I think it's quite a different thing if she has a very successful entrepreneur mom.
Right.
Because I think, like, in the minds of young people, and even for us as well as like adults, you know, if you see someone doing what you want to do, all of a sudden it makes it seem so much more feasible, so much more possible, so much more achievable.
Mm-hmm. So it's not only about the community feeling, which is good, and we all get something from that, but it's also the example that we set when we work with each other, and that when we see each other doing amazing things, especially when it's up close. Yeah, I agree.
There's a lot of power in seeing other people walking the walk. And when women gather, I've seen there's so much support within the community, especially in San Francisco. It's a very supportive community of female entrepreneurs, of just women in general. So it's not even just specific to work, because at Radiant, we're definitely a workspace. But then we also host several different types of events, some lunchtime events. Most of our events are in the evening. So that way, people who are committed to working in other places during the day can also be part of our community, can also attend, can also just feel that magic that happens when there are so many of us in the room together, just usually working towards similar or the same goal.
Right. I love it. This has been such an amazing conversation, Timmy. You have so much good information. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I want it all. No problem. Thank you so much for joining us and just sharing all of your knowledge and experience with us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's been lovely chatting with you.
Absolutely. Now, before we go, let everybody know where they can keep up with either you personally or with Radiant Workspaces. Just let them know how you want to stay connected, or how you want them to reach out to you.
I always love to hear from people that are interested in what we're doing. So you can find us at radiantspaces.work. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Radiant Workspaces. So just send me a message, follow us, just see what we're up to, join in for one of our events. We'd love to see you here.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And as always, you guys, keep killing it.